chapter 5. We're going to pick up right where we left off this morning. Matthew 5. Everybody doing okay this afternoon? Anybody sleepy? I asked Brother Tom if he took a nap, and he said he was too busy eating to sleep. Hard to sleep while you're eating. But I'm glad you're here. If you're able, let's stand together. Matthew chapter 5, we're going to pick up at verse 45. Matthew 5, 45. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity to gather together again this afternoon. And I pray that you give us help. Our flesh is weak, but our spirits are willing. And I pray that you'll bless our time in the Word today. Pray your Holy Spirit would guide us into all truth. Pray that you'd help us that we can know you and love you and love others the way that you've called us to, and that by your grace we would be a shining light into the world and you would use us to bring others into your kingdom. Please forgive our sin. Please bless your word in spite of me this afternoon, and we pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 5, 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Amen. Please be seated. As we've been walking through these scriptures this morning, we saw the call to love our enemies, to bless those that curse, to do good to them that hate, and to pray for them which persecute. And so it's loving, blessing, doing good, and praying for. And then he gets into the reason behind it. First of all, to reflect the Father. He says that, or in order that, or so that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. And it's not saying this is what makes you the child of your Father. It's saying this is what shows you as a reflection of your Father. In other words, God isn't your Father because you do good and you love your enemies. You love your enemies and you do good to them because he is your Father. He's your Father because you've trusted in Jesus. You've been born again by faith. Okay, so let's be careful that we don't let the verbiage get us upside down, because you don't walk away from this saying, well, if I don't follow this out, then I can't be a child of the Father. No, it's the other way around. If you're a child of the Father, you will do these things. Okay. He makes his sun to shine or to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. Sunshine and rain are good things. A lot of times, I remember when I was younger, I'd read this about the rain on the just and the unjust. And I used to think rain was a bad thing, because when I was a kid, rain was a terrible thing. It meant you couldn't go outside and play. Right? But rain is a good thing. It's not a bad thing, especially if you live from the land. If you have crops and flocks and herds, you need rain and you need sunshine. And so what he's saying is that God is good to everyone. God caused the sun to shine here in Muldrow, Oklahoma this morning. The sun came up and it was a beautiful morning, beautiful sunrise, beautiful day, wasn't it? And guess what? There are people who woke up today, walked outside, and saw the same sun that you did, and they hate God. They reject God. They despise God. They're in rebellion against God. The wrath of God is abiding on them, and yet God put the sun up right over the top of their head, just like he did yours. And we need to understand today that our Heavenly Father is good and is gracious to everyone, even those who would shake their fist at God and say he isn't there. He still put the sun up today, just the same. And so he loves, and he's good. His grace that he gives to the world, some people would call it common grace, but it's grace that he gives to everybody, and it's there. He blesses the righteous and the wicked. And kingdom love ought to mirror that same kind of love and goodness. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. Now, I know you guys know Romans 5, 8, right? It's part of what we call the Roman road. So Romans 5, 8 says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for So God commendeth, God proved, God demonstrated, God made known his love. In other words, God didn't just sit up in heaven and say, I love you. He demonstrated, he proved it. He made it known by sending Jesus to die. But look at verse 9. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And what that tells you is that even while you're an enemy of God, God proved his love for you because Christ died for you. And if he showed his love for you when you were his enemy, and in death he showed his love, how much more does he show his love in life? Because he didn't just die. He didn't just lay down his life. He took it up again on the third day. And he showed you his love in his death on the cross, and he shows you his love in his resurrection. And he shows you his love in that you can become not dead. You can be out of being dead in sin and become dead to sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he shows us his great love. And our lives ought to reflect that kind of love. He said, that's the whole point of this, right? That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. Well, what kind of father is he? Well, he's the kind of father that loves people even when they hate him. He's good to the just and to the unjust. He's good to those who have been made righteous and those who are still in their sin. And so you and I ought to be loving and kind and generous and good to everybody, not just those who are good to us. Loving your friends only proves nothing. In Matthew 5:46, for if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? And what he's saying is all these other people, the pagans and the tax collectors, the ones you think are the worst of the worst in your society, those people love the people who love them. And it's like the Lord saying, big deal. Oh, what? Okay. You love somebody because they love you? That's not the kind of love that we're talking about. That's transactional love. That's the love that says, if you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. That's the kind of love that says, if you do this for me, then I'll do this for you. Right? It's a give, but only when we could take. It's a give, but only when I can get. It's the kind of thing that, you know, when somebody comes to you and says, hey, will you do me a favor? And you're like, that depends. Let me hear about it. What's it going to cost me first, right? The kind of love we're talking about here is not a transactional love. The kind of love we're talking about here is the kind of love that goes out of its way to serve others, to give to others, to sacrifice for others without any thought of what's in it for you. That's the kind of love we're talking about. We need to be different. Luke chapter 6 and verse 35. Luke 6:35, the Lord says, but love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Our hearts are like this. We're like, listen, I'll do good for you, but if you're not grateful, then I'm not going to do anything else for you. We can't help it. It's in our nature to want reward, to want accolades, to want some kind of acknowledgement for what we've done. But what the Lord says is, you love your enemies and you do good. Not look expecting anything in return. You give, and you don't do it because of what you're going to get back out of it. You just give, and you're okay to let it go. Just cast your bread on the water. When you cast your bread on the water, you don't expect anything to come back to you. You're leaving it in God's hands. And God, the highest, friends, the highest, he is kind to the unthankful, and he is kind to the evil. And he expects us to reflect his nature. The God of love. The God of love. In Matthew 5:48, he says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. I want to know this afternoon, how many of you have ever read this and just kind of had a problem with it? Anybody? I'm just going to tell you, when I started studying the Bible on my own, I read that and I'm like, well, I think maybe I should just quit and go home. To be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect? Well, we need to start understanding some terms. First of all, the word perfect here does not mean sinless. So he's not saying be sinless like God in heaven is sinless. That's not what he's saying. The word perfect here is the Greek word telios. It's to be mature or whole or complete, okay? So the idea is to grow up in Christ. The idea is to be mature in Christ. The idea is to be complete in Christ, and we want to be complete as God makes us complete. I want to love the way that He loves. I want to be kind the way that He is kind. And we just think about the things that He's asking us to do or commanding us to do, teaching us to do. Love our enemies the way that He loves. Do good the way that He is good. Pray the way that He prayed. And show love to our enemies the way that He did. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about loving completely the way that He loves us completely. Kingdom citizens are supposed to love the way the King loves. I'm going to tell you this afternoon, I'm thankful that I have a Father in heaven who loves me. And I'm thankful that His love is not a transactional love. Can you just stop for a second this afternoon and think about what that would be like? If God only loved you based on what He was going to get back from you, like God's looking down from heaven and He's going to look at us. He's going to look at you, my life and your life, and He's going to look at us and He's going to say, okay, I'm going to give you love, but I'm only going to give it as much as I get in return for how much I love you. I don't know about you, but I wouldn't be getting much love. But He doesn't love that way. His love isn't based on our response or our worth or our value or what He's going to get back out of us. He loves because that's who He is. Okay, now stay with me. You and I look at this. We come up against this verse and we're like, well, there's nothing I can do. Friend, you are His. The moment you trusted Christ, He put His Spirit inside of you. The Spirit of God has made you new. You are saved. You are sanctified. You are sealed by the Spirit of God. And you are a new creature, new creation in Christ. I'm not who I was. I'm not an enemy of His. Now I'm His child. I'm a joint heir with Christ. And now I can look at this and say, well, on my own, there's no hope for this. But in Christ, there is all hope. Not only can I be perfect in Christ, I am perfect in Christ, and I will be perfect in Christ. What does that mean? I'm boasting of myself, saying I'm perfect in Christ. I'm saying, no, I'm saying I am made complete in who He has made me to be. It's not about what I do. It's about what He's doing in me. He's still working on me. Amen. Amen. To make me what I ought to be. It took Him just a week to make the moon and the stars, the sun and the earth. And okay, I was wondering if anybody was with me. How loving and patient He must be, because He's still working on me. This isn't about us mustering something up, gritting our teeth, putting our head down, sticking our nose to the grindstone. This is about us dying to ourselves and being filled with the Spirit of God. This is about Him working in us, because He that began a good work in you will perform it to the day of Christ. A.W. Tozer said, the love of God is one of the great realities of the universe, a self-replenishing fountain. And as we are conformed to Christ, it will flow through us, even toward our enemies. The love of God is one of the greatest realities of the universe. Is that true? He loves. And His love is based on His character. He is love. And it just flows out of Him. And the more we're like Jesus, the more His love flows through us. And it's not selective. It's not transactional. It is unconditional. It is universal. We are to love everyone. Say this afternoon, what about the atheist? What about the one who shakes their fist at God and says they don't even believe in Him? Should we love them? Should we love them?
Yes.
What about the people that are so confused about everything in life? They don't even know what gender they are, and they're rebelling against God as their creator. Should we love them?
Yes.
What about the ones that are going to the abortion clinics in the morning to murder their own babies? Should we love them? Somehow in our fallenness, our human nature, we tend to only like to love the people that are like us. How rude of you to think anybody's like you. We ought to love everybody. But let me help you out today, because I can just feel somebody's ears burning watching online right now. To love people, the greatest way is to give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. To warn them of the judgment to come. To love them enough to tell them the truth. To warn them to turn away from their sin and unbelief and to put their faith in Christ who loved them and gave himself for them. That's love. Not to be accepting of a wicked lifestyle, not to be accepting of sin, but to tell them that there is redemption in Jesus. To tell them there is forgiveness in Jesus. To tell them that there is a way for them to be forgiven and set free. That's love. Okay? Everybody good? Love. So what do we do? Can I just encourage you to pray for your enemies? Pray for them. You're at odds with somebody, you have problems with somebody, somebody has problems with you, pray for them by name. Pray that God would help them. Pray that God would bless them. And pray with the right heart toward them. I promise you, if you pray for somebody, God will change hearts. And he'll start with yours. Do good to them. I mean, actually real things, like see needs in their lives and meet those needs. Like go out of your way to be kind to somebody. Do good things for somebody. Guard your heart. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Put all those things away from your heart and your lips. And then let me just say this, rely on the Spirit's power. In our own nature, can we love the way that God loves? Can't do it. Not in your own nature. The fruit of the Spirit is, first of all, love. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. So the only way any of us are ever going to love the way that God wants us to is by the Holy Spirit's power. We can't do it on our own. Jesus says, you've heard it said of them of old, you've heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. And I could talk, I've talked about it all day, and I can talk about it for the rest of the day, but at the end of the day, this is not about talking, it's about doing. It's about actually praying, it's about actually loving, it's about actually doing good. This is the kingdom of God. The world can't understand this kind of love. It's only kind of love that God can produce by his Spirit. Let's pray together. Lord, I thank you for the time to come together this afternoon, and I pray you'd forgive us for where we fail to love like we ought to, and that you'd help us to love radically, that as you've made us new creatures in Christ, we would love more and more and greater, that we would abound more and more in love. First of all, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Lord, also that we would love our neighbor as ourselves, and that we would understand that we are to be neighbors to everyone, that we would love even our enemies. Lord, as you convict our hearts this afternoon about our enemies and convict our hearts about our failure to love, I pray that you would stir up our hearts, that you bring us to repentance, and that you would help us to love the way that you've loved us, to pray for people, to do good and be kind to others, and to bless them and to speak well of them, even when they revile us and hate us, that you would help us to love. Lord, we rebelled against you. We were your enemies. We deserved your wrath, and yet you poured out your love. Help us to love others the way you love us. Please forgive and help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go home this afternoon, I want to give you an opportunity, like we've been doing, to have some Q&A or discussion about anything we've studied today or lately. Does anybody have any comments or questions or anything at all?